interesting to you. I think every Christian who lives, you know, throughout the course of a week or a month says, well, I had 1,000 trials. They were real, they were painful, they were difficult, but I had 100,000 blessings. 100,000 times God reached out to me and helped me in a one-to-one way and through people. So we're going to look at God's grace today and give thanks to Him and see, could that grace that saved us be a major motivation for our obedience? Sometimes we ditch the grace of God shortly after we receive Christ. You say, I realize I received Christ and it was a gift to receive Him. But then later on, I kind of have to take over because, you know, grace is just something that touched me at the beginning. But if we look through God's Word, we'll realize His supply is real to us moment by moment. And the same grace that hit you when you receive Christ is the grace that helps your heart beat right now, and you breathe right now, and you have a chance to follow Jesus today by the gift of God. So we're here for a purpose behind His gifting. And enjoy the time with the Lord when you see some of the blessings He brought to you. I don't know if I'm all in the way when I put these things on the screen, and I should have more trust in technology, but I'm a little slow with it. So I'll stand over here, and if you guys could see, tell me to move my head. Paul, he was a great sinner, but he knew he had a greater Savior than his sin. And you think of all the things in your life where you turn away from God about. Hey, where sin abounded, and there would be a lot of it in each of our souls, grace would abound all the more. In other words, God will help us out more than we've hurt Him. He'll help us out more than we've hurt Him. So that's His promise to us. When Paul looked at himself, he called himself the least of the apostles, and he called himself less than the least of all of God's people. Now, some people think Paul had a problem with low self-esteem, so he just threw that in a few of his letters. Some people, who I agree with more, say that Paul saw his life like this because he knew how great God was. And when he would think of the greatness of God and the love of God, he felt like, man, I don't even deserve to know such a one. And I think our soul should be glad like that. Don't you feel like that about your loved ones occasionally, or even the memory of loved ones? You think and you say, boy, I was really blessed just to be a part of that person's life, you know. And we feel the same way about God. So he said, I'm the least of the apostles, don't deserve to be apostle. I'm less than the least of all of God's people. I feel the worst of sinners. You don't want to necessarily make Ephesians 3:8 your life's verse, okay? Like to introduce myself, I'm the less than the least of all of God's people. You don't want to say that about the guy or gal next to you, although you may have thought it. I'm with so-and-so. But one of the things the grace of God does for us is keep us looking to God's greatness. Somebody said that Paul knew God was so great and His grace was so wonderful that nobody could really say anything too bad about Paul himself. Okay, you think of the different insults you may have put on yourself or somebody else put on you. You're no good, or you can't do anything right, or whatever thought from the pit came through your mind. One realistic biblical response when somebody insults you is to pretty much say this. You can see Paul saying this. You know what? Thanks for being merciful, because I'm about 100 times worse than you've just described. You know, you can try that next time and see if the person repents. But Paul knew God's grace, and it helped him recognize his limitations and the gifts that we had. Charles Spurgeon had a sense of that in his life. He was a great follower of Christ and preacher. We are nothing except what God makes us. To have a sense of that and say, thank God, whatever blessings I have or good things coming out of my life, the Lord gets 100% credit, author and finisher of our faith. Simple experiences of God's grace, which I kind of hold on to when I've heard them, grace is anything outside of hell. That is really, really true. So you think, 6 billion people on the earth, God showing grace to each one at this moment, because none of them are in hell. You and I, here we are on a Sunday morning, worshiping God. Without Christ, what do we really deserve? Or what do we earn? We really, thank the Lord I'm not in hell this morning. There's a sense where we can have a gratitude about that, of the immediacy of Christ's salvation in our lives. By every right and sense of fairness, the justice of God would knock us over. But He gives us grace, forgiveness, forbearance. Anything outside of hell is grace. So we're thankful on a moment-to-moment basis. God riches at Christ's expense. Jesus given His life for us. We can know God now. It's undeserved, unearned favor from the Lord. And there's a toughness to God's grace that we have to get, because it challenges us to gratitude, and it puts in our heart, I think, this thought that if I'm thinking about Jesus and His grace, I really have no complaints toward God. There's never a time where you and I should say, or have the thought cross our mind, Lord, I think I deserve more from You than I'm getting. I think I deserve better, Lord, in my relationship with You. You're just not coming through for me. Now, I think when we're in pain, we're going to say that, and then our faith is not very strong. Often we could say, Lord, please help me. I can't trust You at this point. But to know that really God doesn't say, look, I owe you guys a good life. Doesn't say that. Because if we get what we're owed, we're going to be in big trouble. And so the tough side of grace is saying, by the grace of God, I'm not going to complain about my lot in life. I'm not going to say, God, if You only did this, my life would be a lot better. God has already done tons and tons and tons on our behalf. And so we could be people of gratitude and not people of complaint. Ask the Lord, being a blessed Christian, which you are if you're a child of God, that the heart of gratitude would be in your conversation. I don't know. I'm sure you've had the experience that throughout the course of your life, throughout the course of your ears and the course of your own thinking, there is more things of complaining about God in life than there is about gratitude. I think that shows a forgetting of who God is. So ask for repentance in that area. Okay? You don't have to join the world in complaining about everything under the sun. Because you got 10,000 blessings under the sun at Christ's expense. So, put it this way. Once you get to heaven, you're not going to be whining about how bad it was on earth. Right? So practice now to do that. The supply of His grace. Just so much that God provides the riches of His grace, the surpassing riches, the abundance of grace. From the fullness of His goodness, we've all received grace upon grace. Someone shared this week, it was real nice how they said it out in the hallway here, about the rain. When the rain comes down, there's a lot of things and gets everything wet. And so they just said, I try to look at the rain. Each raindrop is a blessing sent from God. I said, wow. I think they're looking at life the way it really is, as opposed to, got my shoes wet. I'm upset about that. The rich supply of God's grace. He provides for us. I knew a regional manager from some convenience stores like Kogo's and things, and his responsibility was to go and visit 20 stores every week. So that's a lot of running. Well, they downsized the company in terms of the workers. Now he had 25 stores. He had to go around and visit every week. Took a lot of time, a lot of talking to people in each store. He said, I'm totally overwhelmed. I'm in over my head with responsibility. Sometimes we feel that. But from God's point of view, one of the things we're in over our head about is the blessings God has given us. You're in over your head in terms of the blessing that Jesus is to you when we think about it. We don't know quite what to do with Him. We're learning how to follow Him and His goodness. So if you could think of the grace of God, which it is, in that way, then you'll say, boy, what a great opportunity to obey God. Look at all the things He did for me. Like the song, you know, the voices of a million angels couldn't express my gratitude. That's a good thing. The supply of God's grace, the power of God's grace. Jesus expressed through us, full of grace and truth. Grace says no to sin and brings godliness. Grace motivates us to hard work, throw ourselves into life. The second point there, tied into obedience. God's grace brings better obedience than God's law. And God's law is very, very precious. The Ten Commandments. You know, you read those and it's like God talking to you. And you say, boy, I need help following these paths. These paths are all good. Nothing out of bounds about these paths of the Ten Commandments. But only grace can help us keep those. If obedience came through just the law, Jesus on the cross should have said, what am I doing up here? What am I doing up here on this cross? Why should He walk out of the grave and conquer death if obedience and life itself could just come from everything God told us to do and not to do? We needed a Savior to come and impact our hearts personally. So to say, if I'm going to say no to sin and have godliness, I'm going to need to rely on the Lord Himself. It's given to the humble, and it's not a license to sin. Grace given to the humble is very apparent in the book of James. One preacher said, how can you tell the difference? You check your own soul on this. How can you tell the difference between wheat and tares? Wheat is the real children of God. Tares are the, you know, we'll say unknowing fake of a children of God. I don't know, you know, maybe I'm just faking it. The difference between the wheat and the tares is when the wind blows, the wheat always bows and it bends. The tares remain unmoved. Rigidly this way. So for your own soul, what does Jesus mean to you? Do you feel like you're more wheat? Or do you feel like you're more tares? You're going to fight your own battle all the way to hell. How God gives us salvation. It's not grace plus baptism. Baptism is a wonderful thing. Outward sign of an inward change. It's like a testimony, so all can know. There's a church nearby, unfortunately, that says, to be saved, you have to believe in Jesus and be baptized. That's really out of bounds. You're taken away from the gift of God. My question to the fellowship is, you know, what else do you have to do? If baptism, why not something else? Why not this? Why not that? It's not grace plus baptism, not grace plus other things. It's not grace plus good works. We know it's a gift of God, so that no one can boast. If you think salvation is by grace plus what you do, you really should be a Muslim or a Mormon. Because that's pretty much what they teach. Although the Muslims, I don't think, have grace even. So it's grace plus works. Because it gives Jesus all the credit and the fact that He could change a life. The Christian who does one good work his whole life, and God bless him for that good work, is just as saved as the Christian who did a million good works. Because of Jesus. Because Jesus is very powerful. The guy who did the one good work, that's his loss for not doing a million good works. He missed out on a lot of joy. But remember that when you think of your own life, you think of heaven, you think of Christ. Boy, what a gift. Wasn't deserved at the beginning, will never be deserved throughout your life, and won't be deserved when you stand before God and he says, which he won't say, why should I let you into heaven? He'll say, welcome home. I like this quote from Augustine. The person who has Christ plus everything does not have any more than the person who has Christ alone. Why is that true? Because Christ is bigger than the universe. And he says, I'm coming to change your soul. You could be with God and I now and forever. And so, you celebrate people who have Christ plus everything. That's good. What are you going to say? I have Christ and I have 10 spiritual gifts. I have Christ and I can recite the whole New Testament by memory. That's good. You have as much as the guy who just received the Lord in terms of salvation. It's the grace of God that changes. How can we ask the Lord to live out a walk with him? Say, Lord, give me the grace to obey you. I can't obey God. I don't want to obey God. It's totally different for me to obey God unless I see he loves me and this gift of him in my life is truly incredible. So we say, Lord, give me the grace to obey you. Because that's the only way to say thanks in a proper manner. Pascal, who was a great mathematician, said, we can imagine a tremendously better life, but we are powerless to bring it about without God. Probably connected to prayer, that we feel powerless as believers. I just can't, I keep messing up. I mess up more than I follow Jesus. What am I going to do? Ask God for help, and he'll give you the gift of wanting to obey him, the ability to follow in his ways. It's the path of life. Why miss out? Ask God for the grace to do hard work. I hope you associate following Jesus with some hard work. I was thinking, what do I think of church? And unfortunately, I start thinking about, comfort, rest, all the nicest people in the world, and all those things. But I never think, church, I'm going to put my heart and soul into my brothers and sisters in Christ out of thanks for God. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I worked harder than all the other apostles. And that was by the grace of God. He said, not him, but the grace of God that was in him. So could you, out of a thanks to God, say, I will work hard to follow Jesus. I will pray and seek him. I will open the Bible and read, even though I'm not a reader. And I will be a doer of the word because of his love. And I'm going to love my enemies. Because Jesus told me to do that. And if it's hard, then it'll be the grace of God. I'll ask God's grace to heal me, even though I'm broken in ways I can't even see. And then ask God for the grace to love much. That was Paul's testimony. His whole life was, I'm just going to be, breathe out murderous threats on the church or on what God was up to. And we don't want to do that. We want to be for the Lord, not against him, for his people, not against him. Charles Spurgeon said about the impact that Jesus would make on his life. I like this testimony. He said, Jesus to me is all grace and no condemnation. You think of your relationship with God, How many people in your life do you say, I go to this person and I just feel 100% accepted and they're loved, and they're behind me all the way, and they'll tell me if I'm off. And you say, well, I got two or three people in my life like that. That's good. The first in line for you is Christ. He's like that for you. Spurgeon said, with Jesus, all grace and no condemnation. And then he said, all truth and no falsehood. That'll set us free. And then he said, all obedience and no sin, when you look at Christ. That makes sin very unattractive. That has nothing to do with Jesus. Why would I want to go there, think that, do that, or fail to do what's before us. And you think of the miracle of an opportunity to obey God. Can you ask the Lord in your soul, Lord, give me the grace to obey you one step at a time. Make obedience in your life as tied to God's favor as heaven is. And it'll help your walk, give you some fuel. And when you obey God, God will say, amazing grace. Look how well they obey me with my help. Because God knows there's nothing in us that could do it but His gift to us. So let's pray and be close to the Lord in closing. Father, when we were when we met you, when you introduced yourself to us, it was there was a lot going on in our soul. We couldn't quite believe what was happening, and even when we follow you, we look at ourselves and say, "I'm following the King of Kings at this point. It must be by His help." So I pray that we would joyfully find obedience in the gift that you have given us of yourself. Pray for anybody here, Lord, who maybe is working their way to heaven. Hey, I have a lot of good things going for me. I should get some credit. I pray that you would wash your mouth out with soap, Lord, for thinking or saying such a thing. And that hearts would change and we would receive from you, Jesus, grace upon grace, which we need to live our lives. Help us to have that sober assessment of our spiritual maturity, not being afraid to see ourselves as less than the least of all God's people, but rejoicing in the grace given to each one. But give the right encouragement each soul needs here today. In Jesus' name, amen.